So we pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you again in hope, Lord, through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the open door provided by the Holy Spirit, to ask your grace and favor at this time to help us to understand as never before what an ordained and vindicated prophet taught, because, Lord, we need to know not just what he said, we need to understand what he said. And hopefully, Lord, you'll help us this morning to take another step forward, another higher plateau, another higher ground than previously. Not that we want to arrogate to ourselves something in pride that we are arriving or we are somebody, but, Lord, because we need it. We are not satisfied within ourselves at this point. We never will be outside of you, and we're not satisfied that we have even begun to know anything at all about something which you have set forth here. And so we want to know more than we've ever known before, spiritually understanding it and it providing life for us. Rebuke the enemy for our sake. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. You can just turn the tape off a minute if you like there. We're in the subject of paradox, and this will be the number 3. And back in paragraph 12 where we started, Brother Branham mentions 2 things. He mentions a ministering of the word and a ministering of healing. And then in paragraph 13, he makes a very strong statement on his ministry. He said, now the message that the Lord has allotted to me is sometimes, you know, these things are get pretty touchy. And it's been that way in every age, and I've tried my best to stay with it. That's what God allotted to him, the message. It's something, and if I did not speak that thing that God told me. Everybody reads, but this man was told. He didn't read it. And if it wasn't of God, then it wouldn't be in the Word. Right away, you know, people say, well, boy, that's pretty presumptuous. Who does he think he is? Well, he knows who he is. See, this man speaks with authority. He doesn't come around, you know, like some denominational clout he's got. The bishop will back him up. You know, some little human thing. But this is where God is in the picture. God, prophet, prophet, God. See, never forget that. Now, if it's in the Word and a promise for this hour, then that's the message. The Word for this hour, the promise for this hour. What is this hour? What is it all about? Then I feel that I'm doing what's right, because I'm only trying to keep what He promised for this hour. So therefore, what God told him is in the Word, but pointed out in the Word. And Brother Branham did not even know that word per se. So when God spoke to him, as you understand, when the angels came, the embodiment of the Holy Spirit, 7 angels came in, 1 per day. He said he went instantly to his concordance to check it out. It was there. He didn't even know where it was. There's many things that we didn't know where it was, and he never even told us where they were, but by the grace of God, we've been able to find them. So, all right, the very strong statement. Then, in paragraph 18, he makes a statement concerning divine healing. And he said, because healing is the children's bread, we realize that it's in the atonement. The atonement first is applied to our souls, and healing has always forerun every message. And it's always been a means to gather the people together. So he tells you that healing is a minor, unless it's used in the major context, which is to direct you to the Word of Almighty God. All right? Then we'll notice in paragraph 20, He mentions in also paragraph 19 the last statement. As Brother Bosworth said concerning healing, it's the bait on the hook. You showed the fish the bait, not the hook. Then in paragraph 20, he said that's just the little thing to get the people to listen till you can really present them to your message or present the message to them. God has done that in every age. Now listen, through every age there's always been a healing campaign. And if it's a genuine healing campaign, therefore, there can be a phony healing campaign. See, a genuine healing campaign, behind that campaign always is a message. There never is a sign given for just a sign. it's forerunning a message. And we saw how that worked over there through the Scripture, but we don't go into it today. Now then, going further, we go to paragraph 25, and in there he makes a joint statement, or a statement, a compound statement basic to healing and to salvation. If you're sick, I wish I could heal you, but no man can do that. It's already done. Healing lies in you. Remember, he said, don't take that too far. It's your faith in the finished works that God did on Calvary with Jesus. And outside of that, there is no healing. So that takes away the statement that people say, well, the healing can be of the devil. Shows they're a bunch of ignoramuses concerning the word. Now, and outside of that, there is no salvation. No church, no denomination, no ritual, nothing packs salvation. Jesus Christ was wounded for our transgression, with his stripes we're healed. All right. So there's a compound statement on that. Now, soon after this, he refers to an incident that is related, it's related to himself, that refers to a Bible that he is using, a brand new Bible. And in there, he said there were two markers, as there usually are in a Bible, little silk markers. And then there was a third one. Now, the first marker was at the dedication of Solomon's temple, where the glory of God came in. The second marker was over in where Ezra rededicated the temple, but you will notice that there was no pillar of fire that came down, but it was a discovery or a rediscovery of the Word. So therefore you'll notice pillar of fire, Word. And then the third marker was concerning Mark 11 and 22, speak to this mountain, and then you'll be moved. Now, you'll notice that in there, the third illustration, when he talked about Mark 22, the moving of the mountain, and he said, you people familiar with the tapes will remember the squirrels that were created. All right. Presence of God, the rediscovery and understanding of the Word, and number three, creatorial act. Now, how do squirrels get created? Now, this is the thing we're going to look at, and I tried to show you last Wednesday. So we go to Genesis 1, 24 to 25, and in there we read, and the Lord God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, the cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. It was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Now, you know as well as I know that nobody can stand in this pulpit or any place else and tell you that God said, let the earth bring forth, and the earth brought forth of itself. Hogwash. The animals were already there in the form of a spirit, the same as Adam and Eve was. But wherein God used his own hands to bring forth Adam and Eve in the physical, he did not do that with the animals. He simply spoke. And when he said to Brother Branham, you speak, the squirrel life was already there, and all it had to do was for the earth to clothe it, just the form come forth. Now, you'll notice that that typifies a resurrection. See? But our resurrection is not that way, although it is that way. See? It's coming forth. This proves the resurrection is at hand. And let me read you, Brother Branham said. That's the reason Jesus had to come through the woman, to bring it back to its original beginning again, without sex desire. He's virgin born, but hallelujah, there'll come a time when there won't be no more sex. But God shall call his children from the dust. Now it says God will do it. Now remember, he said to William Branham, you speak. He said to Moses, you speak. Now it was already there for the earth to close it. Close it. It was all there. Now, remember in our case though, it says here, but God shall call his children. Now I know a lot of people say Brother Branham's going to come out of the ground and call us up. I doubt that very much. I can't buy it. I'm sorry. You say, well, what if he does it? Then I guess I'm lost. But you see, you haven't got a fence to sit on anymore. Lots of things we don't know. Brother Branham said we turned a corner. So you're not going to fool around. Now, here's what the prophet said, God shall call his children. William Branham was not God. And he isn't God. He can be God to the people, and that's an entirely different subject. I said, God will call his people, children of the dust of the earth, back like they were in the original. Not through any woman, but through the molding of the clay and the cosmic light and petroleum. He'll create again like he did Adam the first time. So what he's telling you here, Shekinah glory, word of God, resurrection. There you are, right into the resurrection. The creative act of God proving it is here. Because if a man can stand there like the same as Moses did and say, let there be fleas, and the flea life was there and the earth created without sex, then God is going to call his children from the ground without sex. See, we're right at the time. Nobody's going to tell me different. Now, you can tell me different if you want, but that's fine. I'm just going to go on my way and you go your way. I'm going to get there, too. So how do you know? Because I know. So who do you think you are? I know who I am. I don't identify anymore. I am. See, you know, you can't identify with Jesus Christ as being a son. Everybody does that. You have got to be a son. And your son way back there. And if you didn't have representation back there, you don't got it now. In other words, before I was still there in the Father's womb, so-called, the same as Jesus was, he was my representative, but I was same as he. And Brother Branham said, if you weren't there in the beginning, which shows that you were eternal, you say, hey, you're going over our heads. I intend to. I'm going right to your hearts. I've got to deal with your heads fooey on you. All right, verse 40. Paragraph 40. He mentions then the personal message that God gave him in Joshua. He said, a few years ago, I'd take a Bible and let you hand me your Bible, just like this here. And when I started ministry, just take your Bible or my Bible and do this. Now, I missed it this time. It was Numbers. It's got to be Joshua. All was Joshua chapter 1. Now, I always like. Now, he could hold the Bible like this way. And there it was again. Hold it that way. There it was again. Never failed. Interesting. And all I would have to say is, Lord, where is the message to me? What are you trying to tell me? Open up to Joshua. Then one night a vision came. He said, I told you about it, how that an arm reached down with a cuff and all, hand with a collar or cuff, went down and pointed to the first 9 verses of Joshua. That's where I'm reading this afternoon. And I'll take my text from Joshua 10, 12 to 14. So, all right. Now, however, in paragraph 46, before he reads, Brother Branham prays. And this is the fantastic prayer we went into last Wednesday. And as we pray, Heavenly Father, that this will be a great hour for all of us, that we might sense the presence of the Holy Spirit, the writer of this word, that in the building of a tabernacle of flesh. Anybody who claims to have the Holy Ghost, and think Brother Branham is talking about the baptism, doesn't even know what he's saying. Because you and I cannot write a Bible. You and I cannot even receive a revelation collectively. It takes the prophet of God. Remember when I went to Peter and took you to 2 Peter, I said, there's got to be a prophet come on the scene, get a revelation just like a prophet that got the original saying. I didn't realize, but Brother Branham actually makes that same quote. I used in the rapture tape, took you through Peter 2 to Peter 1. And Brother Branham actually makes the very same statement. He said that revelation has got to come in the identical manner that an original prophet brought it, which means the original prophet stood there and opened his mouth and became a literal blank. I know a lot of people don't like that. They're blanks and they don't even know it. All right? He says here that we might sense the presence of the writer of this word. Now remember, Paul was full of the Holy Ghost, and that gave him nothing. It took God Himself to stand right there and give the revelation, give Him word by word. So He's not talking about the presence of you and me, full of the Holy Ghost, making the presence of God. Look, brothers, let's face this. If 900 trillion people were full of the Holy Ghost, that wouldn't make God. And it wouldn't make any collective bunch to get together with 900 trillion minds and wonderful ideas and sit down and write a word. They'd have a Bible that the whole world couldn't even... because they'd have their own screwball ideas in there. Now listen, watch what he said. We pray, Heavenly Father, that this would be a great hour for all of us, that we might, number one especially, sense the presence of the Holy Spirit, the writer of this word, who is back in the building of the tabernacle of William Branham, God to the people, veiling the word, manifesting himself to us in the pardoning of our sins, the forgiving of our iniquity, and with the assurance that he will not impute sin to the believer, with the assurance of that. Now you heard, that's a mouthful. Well, I tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to prove to you, bless God, your sins are forgiven, because when I pull this curtain here, you are going to see a jack-in-the-box jump out. Whoop, didn't jump out. Let's try again. Doesn't work, does it? And he's not talking about that. He's not talking about that. You think that anybody outside of a complete, mentally gone, but spiritually gone mind unto Christ would accept this statement? Well, they say, well, you see, Brother Vail, what it is this. There's going to be a great revival here where people are going to come to the altar, and that is going to do it. I don't know about that. As far as the prophet understood and told us, he said he agreed with Billy Graham that if the Holy Spirit ever got taken out of this world, they still have altar calls and go through the same thing and think they got it. And Brother Branham said the same thing's going to be going on when we're gone. So you can't be talking about that. Not in my books. If he is, I can see something beyond that from what he taught. No. He says here that the one who wrote the book back now in a human form, Logos, original, Elohim, into a prophet, bringing us word and manifesting to us through that. You have to be through that, because that's what he's talking about. The assurance that he will not impute sin and make it stick. This was written in 1965. October 23rd, 1964, Brother Branham had the experience where he became guiltless before God. And he said, I'm praying, Heavenly Father, that when I preach the paradox, that your presence will cause people to know through this message that I have an absolute sinlessness. Now, he said, I cannot do it and no man can do it. Therefore, it's a very special hour that we're in and a very special presence that this becomes a reality to us. And also that he would heal our infirmities. Take the people out of the wheelchairs off crutches. Give them sight to those blind. Extension of days. Those dying with cancer, horrible diseases, tuberculosis. Advanced diseases our physicians cannot curb. It's beyond that. You go beyond all scientific research. Right. I don't find that in the test tube. You go beyond all reasoning. Paradox. Grant to your servant this afternoon speaking of the hearing of thy word and the subject of paradox. In other words, it'll be there, but you can't believe it's there. But you'll know it's there, and you can't prove it's there. But you know it's there. All right, he said, you'll manifest yourself. I'm going to show you what I believe that he's speaking of in this particular respect. We go to John 14, 21 to 22. He that keepeth and hath my commandments and keepeth them. He that loveth me and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Now this is to somebody who is already in. So we cannot be looking at the structure of a meeting wherein sinners are coming in. We're looking at another structure. And Judas, not Iscariot, said, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. My Father will love him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now remember, he said, with you and in you. In this case, it is with. All right. Let's go back here to 1 John. Now, we go to the 4th chapter of 1 John. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Now, in other words, you've got to be full of the Holy Ghost to get this. Hereby we know the spirit of truth, the spirit of error. Now, this is what we're looking at. How are we going to have a manifestation of God that the world cannot get? You're going to have to already be in it in order to apprehend it. And it's always on the basis of revelation. Matthew 16, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, they said, I'll tell you what, this bunch over here says you're Isaiah. You're the fulfillment. That could have been almost anything. Reincarnation, God knows what, same spirit coming back, who knows. Well, somebody says, I believe really that with this bunch over here, Jeremiah. And somebody said, well, I really believe it's John the Baptist come back from the dead. Now, how about that? That's interesting, but I don't know where to carry that one. Except something's wrong somewhere. Well, he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, you never got that from yourself. You never got it from those groups over there. You got it strictly by a revelation so that I now, who am what I am, you are seen and it's become manifest to you. All right. Now, let's show that this is correct. We go to Hebrews 11 chapter. And in verse 14, the words are these. For they that say such things declare plainly. They manifest. They manifest by their words. Now remember, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father hath thoroughly led him forth, declared through the process of exegesis, which is to lay out there completely through word. It's a revelation. He has done it. Now, that word manifest is that word which has to do with shining light. How will you therefore manifest to us? How will you illuminate yourself to us? I will do it, he said, through the word. to the revelation. So therefore, this Bible, which is the letter form of God, and it's no different than any other book when it just lies there. And part of it is already dead and gone. But the word of the hour, the revelation or the promise of this hour, is the manifestation of God Himself, even as the prophet, is the living word of God manifested in this hour. Here He is right there. Well, wasn't He alive? That's Elijah, which was for to come. That's the Bible. William Branham, who are you? I'm Malachi 4. Come again? That's what I am, Malachi 4. You mean you're the Word of God that came in form of human flesh? That's it exactly. Now you got it. And I'm living. What are you here for? Illumination. To manifest Him. To introduce you. So you'll know. You see, you're carrying things too far. Unfortunately, I don't carry them far enough. Let's go back to John 15 and begin to say and see the same thing. First of all, 15:24, if I had not done the works of other men, did they not sin, but now they boasted and hated both me and my Father. And look at the context. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. Now listen, the speaking brings sin. Then what if you listen and believe the word right? Then there's no sin.
Amen. Praise God.
Sir, that's right. Listen, brother, sister, run a toboggan ride. Reverse.
Amen.
We move fast. We move fast. Listen. He said, now they got no cloak for their sin. We don't need any cloaks. We've come to the light. We've been researched. We've been x-rayed. No problem. The verdict's been guiltless. That's what Brother Branham prayed for. My tongue used to hang out because of his experience. Oh, I'm not going to say anymore. People always think you're talking about yourself anyway, so forget it. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. Just a minute. If I had not spoken unto them, they had not sinned. But now they got no cloak and now they hate me. So therefore the words that He spoke was the perfect revelation of God. They were just the same as God. Or how are you going to hate it? See, man is His word. God's His word. If I had not done among them the things, the works nor the man, did they not sin, but now they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Therefore, when the superior walks amongst the inferior, or the whole walks among the part, man rises up like the devil and said, Michael's going to have the great kingdom, eh? I'll have a better kingdom than he's got. The minute God comes into view, in whichever way God has chosen, and until this hour He came by preaching of word and this, that, and that thing, but today He stands here, fully exposed, with no creed and dogmas veiling Him, and the people stand there and look at Him, you're going to love Him or hate Him. See? Now, they've seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be full that's written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But watch, when the Comforter's come, whom I will send to you from my Father, you and the Spirit of truth that proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. Now watch. Pillar of fire, not the Son of Man. William Branham, not the Son of Man. Son of Man in the form of the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God begin to move in the prophet. Watch Him move down, and He comes right out here. There He is. Well, that's not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry about that. Because if that was, we'd all have it. Moses said, I would to God you were all prophets. Ain't no luck. Forget it. Then it says, you'll bear witness because you've been with me from the beginning. Now we're being taken back to the beginning to have the same witness. Same pillar of fire that wrote the book is here delivering it to us. All right. We have now come to 1 Corinthians 1:7-8. This is the time of the apocalypse, because the presence is the apocalypse. Is a part of the epiphania. Is a part of the parousia. There's nothing that hasn't started here now. Or I ask you in the name of my God, where is the entering in or the ushering in of the millennium? Oh, Brother Vail, that's down the road. I beg to disagree with you. It is now, and I'm in it. Oh, I know they're going to cover up and say, well, the seventh seal wasn't open. Maybe to them it wasn't. It's fine by me. You have it your way. So that you come behind in no gift waiting for the apocalypse, the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now they've got the cart before the horse. It says the unveiling must take place to make you blameless. So you won't be judged with the world and made guilty. Somebody's messed up. I ain't messed up. I'll tell you right now, you do what you want about it. That's your business. Now, let's go to John 8. Now things like this cut. I don't care anymore about cutting. You do what you want. People aren't hear this tape. It goes many places. I don't care what they don't have to believe anything. Who gives a rip? Do what you want about it. Jesus said here in John 8 to the scribes and Pharisees, verse 30, I speak that which I've seen with my Father, and you do that which you've seen with your Father. Well, he said, that's a figure of speech. Well, the whole Bible's a figure of speech. Who needs it? They said, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, doesn't deny the father, children, you'd do the works of Abraham, but now you seek to kill me. A man that told you the truth which I heard of God, which this did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. They said, we be not born of fornication. They knew serpent seed. Eve the fornicator. We have one Father, even God. Oh, don't tell me they didn't know serpent seed. You bet your sweet life they did. You got a bunch of people down here that don't know it. Jesus said, if God were your Father, you'd love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. That's right. They couldn't get it. Now, what are they like? It describes them. When you can't get that word, you have the Father for your, the devil for your Father, and you do just what he did, which is your soul lifted up in pride. That you can't bend your mind for 1 minute. All you got questions, 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 questions. And every question comes from a creed and a dogma. Right. Doesn't come from a divinely revealed source, so there wouldn't be a question. Faith doesn't question. Faith believes what's already been set forth. Faith does not presuppose. Faith does not suppose. Faith is functional, foundational. Doesn't run around. He was a murderer in the beginning, and bode not the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks on his own. He doesn't have the word of God. He doesn't know the first thing about it. He is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you confutes me? If I say the truth, why don't you believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Just what John said. He said, give him the ass a test. Let's find out if they're from God. Well, first of all, let's find out who is of God. You got him right there. The works were done nobody else could do. They said, well, you see, Brother Branham was a great prophet, but he's off the word. You know, Muhammad Ali, it was a great boxer, but he couldn't knock anybody. But oh, didn't he? He knocked Liston for a hoop loop. One chop in the mug and he was gone.
Jesse Owens could really run, but you see, he couldn't win a race. Oh, he didn't. Listen, the church may do what sports did to Jim Thorpe, which it did to him. But I'm going to tell you one thing. That guy still won the decathlon. Still one of the greatest athletes ever lived. Ah! So much for your lousy bunch of stinking church members. Filth of the universe. You waste your time praying for America, you're sick. Pray for individuals. Well, he said, you got no word in you, no place for the word in there. They didn't have it. Now Brother Branham read. Oh, we'll get there eventually. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, the Lord spake unto Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people of the land which I do give them, even the children of Israel. Now this is the message that was to Brother Branham. What is my message? You're not thinking, are you? If you are, you're confused right now. I want you to be confused. Because I want you to be so confused you're going to let your own thinking go for once. And you don't give this much to anybody else's thinking but the prophet. Because I can prove right now, before I even start, God giving me grace and help, you don't even know what the prophet said any more than I knew before 96 hours ago. And I've been long, since 19 years on the road almost since the prophet died. I'm going to show you that you can read everything. When you read it with your mind according to what you think you know or what somebody taught you. And what happens when you draw a little blank, you just over it like that. I know what I'm talking about. See, you didn't sit with the prophet 4.5 hours in one point like I did. Try to blow your brains in 12 days in a row all the time you could get to see what, if you could just make one point, write it up and say, no, you haven't got it yet. Write it down, read it, no, you haven't got it yet. You say, what have I got yet? Nothing much. But you got all it takes to get there. You just listen. Now I said here, this is what is supposed to be concerning Brother Branham, the message to him. Moses is dead. Goodbye, Moses. Joshua's alive. Take him in. Now, right now, you're thinking, Brother Branham is not taking us into the millennium. Because that's the promised land. Huh? Oh, come on. I know positively you're thinking that. Don't kid me. You ain't that smart. But now you're thinking. And so now you know you're in trouble if you're thinking wrong. Or either I'm going to lead you into peck of trouble, one of the two. Okay? Every place that the sole of thy foot shall tread upon, that I've given unto thee, as I said to Moses. No guilt, no fear. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Sun sets on the west coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Oh, how nice they were before he died. Then suddenly, bang, 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 bang. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I'll not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. What land? It's going to be the word in this case. One came down to it upon land and sea. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it right or the left, that thou mayest prosper thee every go. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. So therefore every sermon Brother Branham preached was the word of God. Yep.
So that's all you'll see when you believe the message in the Bible. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Oh, just a minute. He told me. I didn't read it. He told me. Thou mayest observe according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. And because you've chosen the hard way, there is laid up for thee a monumental portion of heaven. Because you did it in love. I never said man got. Couldn't fall out the women all the time. Couldn't get off the women's back. Home poor wife couldn't say a word. Now where's your love? Perverted filial. Now true filial brother sister is a God, same as agape is. But you can pervert agape and you can pervert filial, because I showed you already in 6 sermons. I'm not through yet. It'll be the rest of this year, like the Lord gives us grace. On communion nights, we're going to just crisscross that thing back and forth to show you where it's got to be some true milk of human kindness that God puts there that can come out. And I don't mean for one minute that you get to the place where you've got soulmates and the men can hug the women and not feel anything. Don't get that crud in your mind. But there's a place where you're going to look at a woman and love her as a sister in Jesus Christ and treat your wives as sisters. And vice versa. We ain't got it. We're going to get it. Because if there's a God that could just let William Branham say 3 squirrels, and that squirrel life there, and God bring out of the earth, because that's where he got it, and put it on squirrels that William Branham can eat, then God can do this. Because that's part of the assurance that I've got to have. I saw those squirrels come into existence, and I don't have to. But it's not hard to believe. I had an awful job with that squirrel thing until just 96 hours ago. I knew I believed it, because if I saw William Branham make 3 turns revolutions and this cord come around his feet and me stand there and watch that cord and I didn't even see it, but suddenly it's straight. I can believe for 100 squirrels, no trouble. But I could never understand what happened till now. When we walk in the light as he is in the light, there is fellowship. One with another, that's him and me, you and him. Then with each other. I stand all amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned and unclean. Yep. Forget the emotion. Try to endure hardness as a good soldier. Make sure you got your worry anymore whether the fuse is wet or not. There ain't no wet fuses to fizzle and the powder's all dry. Turn it over. Now he said, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. And in the vision, he saw the mamba, turn him into absolute glass, as it were, stood there. Now he said, loose him, turn him, loose him, let him go. Don't be afraid. Yeah. I believe what he saw. Sure. Back there in John 8, there was no place for the word aside from what they decided they wanted as manifestation, which was a bunch of their own so-called miracles, which I mean they called the trick on the miracles. They're miracles. They didn't want a revelation of word. Now this prophet here, and he's a prophet because he brings us the word. And then in the 10th chapter, 12 to 14, the Lord spake unto Joshua in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun stand still upon Gibeon and moon the valley of Ajalon. Now listen, the first part was to William Branham, but the text is to us. The paradox. The sun stood still and the moon stayed. The people avenged themselves upon the enemy. Is it not written in the book of Jasher, the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down for a whole day?
And there was no day like that before or after it, and the Lord hearkened the voice of a man. The Lord hearkened to the voice of a man. You said three squirrels. Now he's going to come back and say, listen, I want to tell you, I was caught up in the pyramid of seven angels. They said, you and who else? They said, there's the one, he's the judge. Oh, come on. What are you trying to tell us? 7 days in a row, an angel swept in the room and embodied him of the Holy Spirit. And it was the embodiment because he said, oh, what a mistake I would have made, but the Holy Spirit swept into the room. And he said, what was it? All week long, seven angels coming. Therefore, the seventh one, which meant the most, was the one that was his figurehead, the true in heaven, that came down here. That's right. God literally moved on down here. You bet he's talking about this. And this is after, this is 1965. This is not 63. This is later. All right. Paradox. Paradox. The word paradox, according to Webster, something incredible but it's true. I got a dictionary meaning here myself, cousin. It's a figure of speech. Sure is. An incredible statement or opinion. Something you can't believe. See, guys just can't believe that. Incredible. Beyond belief. A statement or proposition which at first view seems to be absurd or at variance with common sense or which actually or apparently contradicts some ascertained truth or received opinion. Though on investigation or when explained, it may appear to be well-founded. In other words, you say, I can't believe that. You go in, you say, hey, there's got to be something to that. As a rhetorical figure, its use is well exemplified in the Bible as unknown yet known. Paul was known all around the world, but he wasn't known to the hotshots, where they said, no way is he part of our crowd. Jesus was known around the city, but the Pharisees, something to do with that bird, forget it. As chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, possessing all things. That's a paradox. That's right. Now he said in plain English, truth is stranger than fiction. I got a friend up there in Colorado. The conservationists came by and they had to bought fancy snowmobiles, everything else. They said, we've got to go back and count that herd of elks. There were 21. Well, he said, there's 19 now. Could I kill two of them? They laughed. And he said, ha ha. They went back and they found 19 elk. He said, see, Bill, tell them the truth, he said. They didn't believe you anyway. Truth is stranger than fiction. Now, listen. We're going to start reading, getting into the rough spots. Joshua, here is a book. Now, you thought as a man, didn't you? You read that, but you said Joshua's a man. Because all you can think of is Joshua when you think of the book. So right away, you went right to Joshua as a man, although you knew it was a book. But you're wrong. It's a book. I'm sorry about that. Actually, it's a book of redemption to be that. The book of redemption. Joshua is a book of redemption of the Old Testament. We have to consider it to be that. The book of redemption. Because redemption has two parts. Now, redemption anywhere has two parts. That is, it is out of and into. It takes two parts to make redemption out of and into. Like out of death and into life. Okay. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within the backside, sealed with seven seals, written on the back and on the inside. Okay, now, Brother Branham said that's the book of redemption. I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven and earth or under the earth was able to open the book and look thereon. I wept much because no man found worthy to open the book and read the book and even look thereon. In other words, wasn't even any looking. You couldn't even look at it because it just blind you. One of the elders said, weep not, behold, the Lion tribe of Judah, the root of David, prevailed to open the book and loose the seals. Behold, in the midst of the throne, and four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb that had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth in all the earth, and those seven all came down at one time. One at a time, then all one time. Which meant, number seven did not get two trips. Or one trip. Right? Right? He wasn't here before. So this is part of the word that never was before. This is where they knocked the cap off the pyramid and looked inside and nothing was written. I don't care what anybody says. Anybody can say what he wants. It's good enough by me. He can say what he wants. That's fine by me. I got no problem. He came and take the book out of the right hand of him and sat on the throne. Okay, book of redemption. So that tells you, now if it's the book of redemption, there's got to be a coming out and a coming in. Right? For this hour. Okay? Let's go to Ephesians. Number 1, chapter 1. Verse 13, 14. In whom also you hoped, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession of the praise of His glory. Redemption has two parts. Well, it does it or doesn't it? So therefore, there's two parts here. Huh? Well, do you believe what the prophet said? Now, if I'm going to believe what he said, I got to say, well, hey, just give it the old world. What are you afraid of? If he led me astray, he's got to stand in judgment for me. He said redemption's got two parts, and it talks about redemption right here. There's got to be a coming out and going into. Well, I said, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. We're going to, what we got in redemption there, they got to come out of the graves and go into the body. That sounds very nice. I like that. They got to come out of paradise and go into the body. Yeah, that's very good, too. That's very nice. I like that. But we got two parts, too. And we ain't coming out of a grave either. And going into it. We're not even going to come out of our bodies and go into theophany form. That's going to pick us up yonder. Well, did he say two parts? So, I shrugged my shoulders. Sounds good. Whatever it means. Okay. Paragraph 58. Moses represented the law, which brought them out of Egypt, whereas Joshua represents grace. Now you've got the two leaders that you're talking about indicating two specific things. Now this time he's talking about personality, but they're only representing. Anybody here sells Tinker Toys, you represent the Tinker Toy Company. You are not the Tinker Toy Company. William Branham represented Jesus Christ. He was not Jesus Christ. But he was Jesus Christ to the people, the same as Tinker Toy salesman, Tinker Toy to the people. Now, Moses represented the law which brought them out of Egypt, whereas Joshua represented grace that took them into the promised land. Another way was the law and grace were two different aspects of God's command. In other words, they're two different aspects, but God's word. That's why the law is holy, even though it condemns you. There's nothing wrong with the law. It's a guy that gets caught. See? There's nothing wrong with the merchandise of the purse lying there. It's a bird that comes by and snitches it. Now, the law brought them out, and in this book here, they got now comma. The law brought them out, semicolon. Moses and Joshua took them in. I don't know that that's right. I don't think your punctuation's right. Because he said up here, the law brought them out. Moses, comma. Joshua took them in. And I still don't know what he meant by it. I'll be honest with you. Actually, if I'm looking at it my way, the law was a purgative. An actual purgative. Purges you. You drink something here to make you vomit. God had to do something to get them out. In other words, get them so fed up, or whatever it was, a little strange this. I'm not going to worry about it. But anyway, we're not involved with personalities. Only covenant content and the ministration of it. In other words, how God ministers it. You got word, two forms of it. One God. Two men representing. Two different men. Two different reasons, all going to work to one end, but they're different. Different, 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 indissolubly different, and cannot be mixed, can't be mixed. It. Joshua, the book of Joshua, not Joshua, the book. And he's talking in terms of him having a message to him and him bringing to us. This is that message we're dealing with. Joshua also represents something for our day. I showed you already. See? Joshua, Book of Redemption, has a parallel now. Absolutely. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise and go over Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land that I give them, even to the children of Israel. Is it sinking in? You see what I see that Brother Branham is telling you. You and I, bride, I'm going to take you into the promised land. Now I know your thoughts are, oh, Brother Vail, it means so-and-so. Shut up with your stupid thinking, will you? Sit there with your minds a blank. I told you how discernment used to work in these. Like I say, hey, you know the exact hour of the day I was born, and your mind goes blank, and you're waiting for the answer. I don't know myself. But supposing I did know, and I say, 3 o'clock in the morning. We say, Brother Dale, I had no thoughts on it, but you see, I know people get born in an hour and a minute and so on. I realize those things, but I had no thoughts about yours. So I just opened my mind and it went blank and I heard it. Well, do the same with this. Now, if I'm leading you astray this morning, we're having a lot of fun anyway, I can tell you that. I'm happy as a lark. If I'm not in my right mind, glory to God, hell do you. He'll forgive the idiots. Especially if you fell on your head from your birth. your mother deliberately dumped you on your head so you'd have an excuse for you. Everything of that? Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise, you, and take the people in over this Jordan. Jordan signifies death unto life. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. I don't want any trouble when I see Jordan's banks. Go over Jordan. The rapture will take you up. William Branham, take the people over Jordan. I'm going to dance all over God's heaven preaching. If you can. Pentecostal right to the corner. Real Pentecostal. And a million miles past it. See? Unto the land which I give them. Even the bride. Preacher, Brother Bill. Every place the sole of thy foot
that William Branham opened up. I don't care what he said. It's mine, 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 mine. Heavy and nuts. Didn't say it wasn't. He gave it to William Branham, who gave it to me. From the wilderness, from the chaos. We'll go into that shortly. Unto this is an Lebanon. Unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And all the land of the Hittites, to the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Right. The end time message. Till he takes it back to the two prophets is mine. On a platter. I hope I'm preaching the truth. It represents something for our day. Now it represents as they were in the journey coming from Egypt into a promised land. Doesn't say the promised land. He said a promised land. Because there's more than one. So have we come out of the world of Egypt, chaos. All right, in the beginning, God created earth, and the earth was of form and void, chaos. We're coming exactly out of what God started, perfection, and went right down to the abyss. Because that word chaos in the Hebrew is abyss. See? Going to the millennium now. Out of Egypt on I rode to a promised land. In my father's house are many mansions. Were not so, I would have told you. Coming out of and going into. So therefore we are in a journey which is taking us out of Egypt and Babylon right into the kingdom of God, and it's going to be likened to the promised land because he said this is what we're looking at, New Testament, from Old Testament. Now let's keep reading. It's the law that brings us to recognize we're wrong. That's diagnosis. It's grace that forgives us. That's prognosis. Let's go to 1 John 2 and 4. All these goodies keep coming back eventually. I read it to you before. And he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, a liar, and the truth is not in him. 7th verse, an old commandment in the beginning. Verse 8, a new commandment. And what is that? Authoritative prescription. The true druggist, the true doctor, Dr. Jesus, with healing in his wings, gives us a prescription of immortality. And we're going through a promised land of sorts in order to get there. My father's house are many mansions. The law had no hope. Diagnosis never cures you. Never did. The law has no hope of redemption. Because it has no grace to it. The law only points you're a sinner. But grace tells you how to get out of it. Law is a policeman that puts you in jail. But redemption is the one who came and paid a price and paid your fine to get you out and into grace. Now this is a paradox. You say, what do you mean a paradox? Because it's the truth. But it's in such a peculiar way nobody can figure it. Now listen to me. Get the picture. Why I preach the way I preach. This is not the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Because if you're born again, what are you locked out of? I thought the baptism with the Holy Ghost locked you in.
That's why they say, who needs Elijah? He got puffed up like the rest of the jerks because God gave him a great ministry. It went right to his head and he couldn't take it. He did what everybody else did because they're talking about their own stupid selves, what they would do. Lifted up by the pride of the devil. That man wasn't lifted up by the pride of the devil. He put it all back on Christ every single time. Laid it all back on him. Who needs Elijah? I'm born again, hallelujah. I have spoken in tongues, and my life is very fruitful. You mean fruity. You see why the language is what it is today? They call a homosexual a gay and a fruit. Joy. Love. Just go every name you know that's dirty. And that's not dirty, it's just language. And you'll find everything has a name, a meaning. You say, why? Because Brother Branham said so. Elvis could not be before today, nor could Oral, nor could Ricky. And then he put the females with him, calling them Ricketas. And Elvisinas, no doubt. It's a nice name, I just figured out. I got my inspiration from a lot of sources. I don't claim they're all of God, but I think that one was. Yeah. Yes, if we are born again, what are we locked into that stops us going in? Except I send Elijah the prophet. Everybody burns. The standing here that can burn. Now, dead people can't burn. You can't burn spirits. Can't even quench them. But you can burn us. We're here. Locked. Paradox. Oh, free, born again, but hold it. Now remember I took you to Ephesians? Redemption has two parts. Sealed to the day of redemption. That what hasn't been sealed has been sealed into Egypt. You don't think so? Let's read. Third chapter of Revelation. Unto the messenger of the church of Laodicea, the messenger of the church which is in Laodicea, write these things, saith the Amen, the winder-upper, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, the Omega to the Alpha, appearing to the Gentiles and the former of the Holy Ghost, doing the same things identically to what he did in Israel. Except it's the Holy Spirit got to borrow a body. Do you believe that? Heavenly Father, we might be, that this will be a great hour for all of us, that we might sense the presence of the Holy Spirit, the writer of this book, back in the building of a tabernacle of faith. Oh, say hallelujah, that's the bride. Hallelujah, it's not the bride. Or call her together and let's have the word of God. Come on, listen. I take every single child and woman and man in this building here and I'll ask you questions. You'll all come up with a different answer. Sap. You got to have a pillar somewhere, brother, sister. I know thy works are neither cold nor hot. I would you're cold or hot. Now remember, this amen is the faith and is the beginning of the creation of God, which when God began to form himself in human flesh, now at the end time, he has not yet done it all the way. Because he's got to go back to it. So this is still the Spirit of God. I know your works are either cold or hot, or would you're cold or hot. Because you're neither lukewarm, I'm neither cold or hot, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I'm rich in Christ's goods and need of nothing and knowest not. You're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. You're shot. This is supposed to be blind. And on her wedding day, I suppose she comes running to the church nude. Hey, I should have brought that picture of I want to show you. They republished it of Streisand. Oh, God. You talk about a pervert. I mean, she'd make you puke. Now, no man could desire her sexually, taking one look at her the way she came up there. Her looks make that pool hall rape look kind of nice. I'll bring it in. Maybe I shouldn't. It's such a stupid thing. A council to buy me gold tried in the fire. They don't have any. White raiment. They don't have any. Miss Methodist. The shame for nakedness caught right in your adulteries. Anoint your eyes. So I got the Holy Ghost. You still don't have it. You got the token, but you don't. Seriously. The great token himself could only come at evening time. Evening time it shall be late. How will you manifest to us and not to the world? Oh, you'll know. Something that's done will say, hey. Hey, hey, hey. Something should be listened to. There's something out there. That's why Pentecost could never take this message. There's no way they could take it. They couldn't see the prophet. They couldn't see anybody. All right, now listen. The Ephesus. Now we find the same thing, the Old Testament. I think this book of Joshua fits. A fitting word for it would be the book of Ephesus of the Old Testament. The book of Ephesians of the Old Testament would be a good thing to title this book Joshua because it's fitting. So he's talking about a book. This is why his message foreruns. He's not talking about a person. He's talking about a book. He's talking about a word. This word not depart out of your mouth. Just be of good courage, and you just keep walking in, and the people walk right in your steps. Everything you get, you divide to the people. Well, Brother Branham, you don't have any fear. Praise God, no fear. Brother Branham, you don't have any guilt. Praise God, no guilt. The blood's there. And you see why? See, that's one reason I can't stand one thing where anybody says one thing about the blood. Don't ever put it negative. I'm resting on the blood. I ain't got nothing. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Rock of ages, cleft me. Let me hide myself in thee. Now, then Ephesians has to be a repeat of back there in Joshua. It's got to be an omega, actually, doesn't it? Now listen. Now we find Joshua representing grace. Why? Because he's the man that it fell upon. God's got a word. What good is that word unless there's something to receive the word? God doesn't need his own word. See? He only needs it insofar he is the word, see? Brings out his attributes. Now we find Joshua representing grace or some propitiation. That it could not exist in the same time that law was in existence. Now watch. Brother Branham is preaching a principle, an axiom that the world doesn't understand. And I'm going to tell you, it boggles my mind. This is one of my big hurdles right here. Want to switch it? You okay? It's a big hurdle. It's tough. I'll be honest with you. It's tough as nails. But it's true. We showed that by Peter. Now, could not exist. Now watch, 63, the next paragraph, will explain 62, which is a message, which is a paradox. Now we find Joshua representing grace or some propitiation that could not exist in the same time the law was in existence, and he's talking about today. Right? You bet your life is right. He better be, because he said, I can't preach, Moses couldn't preach Noah's message. Christ couldn't preach Moses' message. Neither does any message
that forwards the people on ever coincide with the past message.
He will not do it. That's where you have the trouble today. Jesus said, does a person take a new piece of a garment and put it on an old? Or new wine in old bottles? They perish, it bursts open. Now that's exactly right. Oh, they say, but Brother Bale, you understand this, that this word has gone along, and what you're talking about always was here, and we're just coming to a climax. I beg to differ. Because Paul himself wanted to know Christ in the power of his resurrection, and he didn't know it, and nobody knows it at this point. I beg to differ. They can't stand it. In his presence. This is the time to shake the people. This is the time that God said there'd come a time. This is the time now that God said there'd come a time, right? What does he say? Doesn't he say it? He shook Mount Sinai one time, but there'd come a shaking again that he said wouldn't only shake Mount Sinai, but he'd shake everything to be moved. Oh, Brother Branham. Oh, shut up and listen to Brother Branham. Chapter 12 of Hebrews. Lest there be a fornicator, a profane person like Esau. God hated him. Sold his morsel of meat, for one morsel of meat his birthright. For you know how he after would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, he joined the church. He went to fornicating. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it carefully. Tears. Why? Because there isn't any repentance left. How can you change your mind when you stuck your ear to the door and they put the awl through it? For you are not come to a mount that might be touched that burned with fire, nor with blackness and darkness and tempest. Not some earthly thing anymore. The sound of trumpet, the voice of words, which voice that they heard entreated that the words should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure that which was commanded, so much as the beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or set through with the dark. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I quake exceedingly for fear. But you are come to Mount Zion. You can't touch it. Come on, tell me. Put your hands on this. Go ahead. Try to do something. Forget it. And under the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable company of messengers, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all. Right here. Beard and wig by the angels, right? Right? Then wake up and smarten up. People don't want to believe that he's here. Exonerating a bride. They're just looking for the things to happen out there. I'm going to be gone when they happen because he said, hey, you're the righteous bride. I said, you mean that? He said, yeah. I said, hallelujah. Look at a righteous bride. He said, I don't see it that way. Well, that's fine. You see, I'm looking from the inside out. And you're looking from the outside, trying to look in, but you can't do it. You're looking from outside to an outside.
That's right.
I'm looking from an inside to the inside. Ha ha, that's beautifully put. Preach it, Brother Bill. Might get something. Get these people screaming like they should scream and glorify the Lord. Okay. And the spirits of just men made perfect. I'm just a man, justified and made perfect. Praise the Lord. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Oh, listen. You can't speak much better than Abel, but you've got something better. See that they refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not or refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn from him that speaketh. For this is from heaven, the one that came down, whose voice now then shook the earth, but now promised, saying, now listen, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Because when he starts to shake and things, the bride's going to be gone. He's going to shake the old devil right out. Revelation chapter 12. The word once more signifying the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made. That those things that cannot be shaken may remain. So in other words, he's going to get a hold of us too and going to shake the what we call the life in us out of us. The creeds and the dogmas, so what can remain, which is the Word, we're going to be the living Word of God in human flesh. Now, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be removed, we have grace. Yeah, grace. What is grace? Unmerited favor. God giving you something in spite of yourself. God looking past all your boo-boos and all the chunks that you're, all the manure head you are. God's taken a lot of old beggars off the manure heap and they can't even, they got enough brains to deluge themselves to get some heliotrope. What is it? Is that what they call it? Was that heliotrope? Was an old-fashioned perfume they poured on each other? There's a play I saw one time. They said that stuff smokes worse than the manure. This guy used to work on a manure boat, a fertilizer boat. And so he'd pour this stuff on him. And they said, man, if I were you, that smells worse than manure. That's the way people are. They join a church. It's not enough to smell like manure and be a manure head. They got to pour more manure in. Oh, I kid you not. I'm telling you the truth, brother, right from the Apostle Paul's lips. You bet your sweet life. I kid you not. This Bible, brothers, sisters, is pretty trite. No, it's not trite. Terse. Very pointed. We're receiving a kingdom cannot be moved. We have grace. Whereby let us serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now it tells you right there that the service starts with reverence and fear. Which means great, deep, most respect for our God's a consuming fire. Now Brother Branham is talking of that right here. Now he says right here there's that time, that today that's coming. But did you, he said he'd shake everything could be moved. But did you notice the rest of Scripture? But we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved. That's Hebrews 12. God speaking now. You say, just a minute, you William Branham? Yes. Yes. It's shaking time. Hallelujah. Everything that can be shook will be shaken. Heaven will shake. Earth will shake. Heaven's earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. For upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. Everything can be shook or be shaken, but we receive a kingdom which is the word of God himself. And God is his word. He don't shake himself. Amen. Oh my, but we receive a kingdom cannot be moved. It's unshakable. Paul wrote the Hebrew writer. Such a person, such a man, such a time. How they felt. We have also ourselves. William Branham puts himself right with all the big prophets. Oh, he says, shame on you, Brother Branham. You think you're somebody. Well, what little pipsqueak are you that thinks you're somebody? Fap, you grow a watermelon the size of a lemon, think you're somebody. He grew one, a house couldn't contain it. Go cut yourself a piece, bless God. I can see a lot of things for this foolishness. And such a person, such a man, such a time, and how they felt, we have also ourselves. We've seen the glory of God like these men did. Sure, we saw it. We saw the glory of God like Abraham saw it. See, I saw it. Pillar of fire, the picture's taken to prove it. We saw the glory of God like Moses saw it. Same pillar of fire, same power of God, same Christ unveiling himself. Revealing himself, showing himself, keeping his word in the last days. How can we come by then and walk and treat us so lightly? How can we walk around and hold to our creed denomination and not take the word of God? What will it be for us in that day? How will it happen to us when we see the glory of God? I'll tell you what. Some people stand off and make fun. They laugh at it. Call it fanaticism. Call it mental liberty. Call it Beelzebub. Call it one thing or another. The old proverb is, fools walking with hobnails, but we're angels fear to tread. Call them fools. That's right. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And you laugh at this, you're a fool too. Because you made God no God. Have you taped about done? Well, I'm sorry. I got to let you go. Promised I wouldn't preach to one past 1 o'clock. Come back Wednesday. Lord bless you. Where did we get to? We got right down here to paragraph 63. Wednesday night, 7:30. Back to paragraph 3. And we'll go on. We'll try to recap a little bit. But I hope you're beginning to understand. We're beginning to understand, brother, sister. We're in the land of promise now per se. What promise? Of this hour. And we're battling. Yeah. The scroungies are trying to scrounge us, everything else. The devil's trying to be devilish. But Christ is trying to Christ us. And he's going to do it. And God is going to glorify us. And we're going to make it. You know why? Because we understand. You say, Brother Bill, we're not ignorant. That's exactly right. That you can be ignorant still, but the wise will understand. Right? So now we know what he's talking about. And it's a paradox. Because people say, oh, that's too strange to be true. Well, it is true, because the prophet said so. Now, I don't believe I told you one lie. I don't believe I perverted one thing the prophet said. I believe I told you the truth before Almighty God. From what I have read, I cannot change my mind. There's no way I can go. I've got to stay right with this. Paradox. 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 Right? That's right.